Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Hope everything is good with you. Looking out of the window at the moment, it is supposed to be April, it is supposed to be springtime, and it is dull as hell out there. So I'm not going to say any more about London's weather, in the hope that it will improve, and according to the forecast, it's going to. Thank you very much for all of your emails. Special shout out to Bren and Jen. See, I said I'd do it, and I've done it. Bren and Jen, thank you very much for listening. And if you've emailed recently, it's really nice to hear from you. If you want to contact me, you can do it through my website, theunexplained.tv. Follow the link and you can send me an email from there. And thank you for all of your support. And thank you also for supporting the Facebook page, the official Facebook page of The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Find it now. You will not be disappointed. This conversation is going to be a really unusual one, okay, with a really unusual person. And, you know, if you don't like this kind of thing, then please turn it off immediately and find another show, another edition of this podcast, perhaps, or, you know, something else. Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, we're going to talk about all kinds of things. Extra-dimensional creatures, exorcisms, bad stuff that happens in homes because certain beings and entities occupy those homes. All kinds of stuff because Kimberly says that all of her life she has engaged with all of those things. And I'm talking about everything from ghosts to aliens to Bigfoot. Now, if it is too much for you, if it's too out there, then I'm giving you this, it's not a warning, but I'm just mentioning this now. If this isn't the kind of thing you want to hear, please turn it off now. Okay, thank you very much. But if you want to come along for the ride, and these shows are conversations, okay? I like to talk to interesting and different people. And that's my mantra, really, whether it's unexplained or it isn't. I've always loved the art of the interview. Okay? I'm not saying that I am God's gift to any of it, by the way, before you infer that from what I've just said, because I am certainly not, and I am the first person to know that. So, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge in North Carolina is going to be the guest on this edition of the show. And more great guests in the pipeline. And if you have an idea for somebody that you would like to hear on The Unexplained, then please go to the website, theunexplained.tv. Send me a guest suggestion. If you want to put in the subject line, guest suggestion. And then, as they say, in the cop shows, I'll get on it. I'm in a funny mood today. You've got to forgive me. I don't know. It's actually been quite a miserable week. And I'm looking forward to the weather being better, and I'm hoping that I will feel better about life, the world, and everything. I'm just, you know, kind of allowed a few things to get to me a little lately, including an increase in the tinnitus, the ringing in the ears. And, you know, you start thinking to yourself, and I've had many people email me about tinnitus, because a lot of people have it. And you think, is it ever going to go away? Is it ever going to ease? So that's where I am at the moment. And, you know, you have my sympathies and good thoughts if you're there too. Okay, so the guest on this edition, Kimberly McGeorge. Remember, when you get in touch with me, please tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use this show in the usual way. So, let's head now to somewhere I hope is going to be brighter than here, North Carolina, and Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, and what I think is going to be a really unusual conversation. Before we do that, by the way, thank you very much to Adam, my webmaster. Forgive me for not mentioning him sooner, but Adam is the person who makes sure that this show gets out to you. All right, North Carolina now. Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, thank you very much for coming on this show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now listen, Kimberly, I was intrigued by the notes that I was sent about you, because you appear to be a person who has had experience of just about everything. I mean, I'm looking at the list here. Everything from alien abduction to remote viewing to possession and deliverance and ghosts and mediumship. It's going to be very hard. Not that we have to do that, but it's going to be very hard to give a quick description of who you are and what you do. So I'm going to, you know, no pressure here. I'm going to pass that over to you. How would you describe yourself?
You know, I would describe myself as someone who has accumulated experiences and learned a lot as I've gone along, and I've changed my mind, you know, a lot as I've received new information, mostly, you know, personal experiences, which is, I think, you know, the real test of, you know, when we can change our opinion when something happens to us. Because 25 years ago, I didn't even believe in aliens or ETs. I believed, you know, this was all there was. So I've come a very, very wandering long way from where I started out.
Okay, so if I was to ask you today, say I met you in Walmart, and you know, so my name is Kimberly, my name's right. Howard, and I asked you what you are and what you do, would the reply be medium? Would the reply be counselor?
Oh, no, I lie. I lead with the most socially acceptable, I don't lie, but I lead with the top socially acceptable answer, which is I design and program quantum frequency medical technology, which I do, you know, it's absolutely 100% true. And, you know, that's a huge part of who I am and what I do. But of course, it's not even half of who I am and what I do.
Right. So the rest of the story is for when people get to know you better or conversations like this one.
Absolutely, where the audience is already warmed up, because I've learned, you know, I'm back in the dating world, and I've learned the hard way that when people find my website, often, you know, they're like, you're effing crazy, and it's immediately over, because I have a very bizarre worldview, and I don't have to be with someone who agrees with me. I just have to be with someone who accepts me for who I am. Mm. So, you know.
Okay. So who are you? That is the hardest question. If anybody asked me that question, I think I would scratch my head for 2 or 3 minutes if I was asked it. But, you know, how do you see yourself?
Yeah, I mean, some of the top notes, like I said, is what I said. You know, really, I do a lot with frequency. I would say that's the core of who I am. But then the next note would be I'm a healer. I'm a teacher, a consciousness teacher. I'm also a consciousness student. You know, I'm still learning, like I said. And I'm an experiencer. I'm someone who's has a lot of experience in conversing with, you know, out of earth star groups and human discarnates and groups of consciousness, you know, because a lot of times we think it has to be embodied in a container. And a lot of the beings I encountered are just different consciousness, you know, groups. They aren't even in a container, and they haven't been in a container. So also the elementals. So, you know, Dogman, Sasquatch, the Fae, little people, huge relationship with them. Many, many, many pictures, such great pictures that I get accused of setting up my pictures.
Okay. You know? So hold on. Amongst all the things that you've experienced Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah. I live. Yeah, there's a huge group that lives on my property. Yeah, absolutely.
How do they communicate with you, Kimberly?
That's interesting. I would say mind to mind, which is what most, you know, a lot of people think the Tower of Babel was about the confusion of languages. Really, it wasn't. It was about giving us languages, because almost every group out of what I call the game, which is Earth, communicates mind to mind and merge to merge. So they half merge or fully merge with each other, and they have communion rather than confused communication. There's no confusion when you are one with someone else, you know, it's mind to mind. And that's how everything above the third dimension, and some of the people within the third dimension or beings within the third dimension, are able to communicate mind to mind. So Sasquatch is definitely mind to mind. I joke one day, you know, they'll come and sit around the campfire and we'll like make some s'mores together, which is an American thing. But, you know, that hasn't happened yet. But I hold out great hopes for, you know, an actual, I mean, I do have pictures of them with what we call in the fur, but they don't often appear in solid physical form.
So you believe that, as a lot of people are starting to believe, that there is a connection between paranormal phenomena, you know, ghosts and aliens and all of those mm-hmm. things, and cryptozoological creatures. You think that they all exist in the same space?
I think they all exist in, I believe all dimensions overlap, you know, however many dimensions there are, which could be thousands or millions or trillions, who knows, I don't know. But they all can fit on the head of the pin. So like right now I'm sitting, you know, in the third dimension, but I have access to all the dimensions. But what access do we have? You know, do we vibrate? You have to vibrate somewhere within the frequencies of, you know, you're trying to access. You know, what are my abilities? You know, how much toxins are in my body? You know, what's blocking my abilities? Because we all have them. I mean, these avatars are created to all have the same abilities to see through the dimensions, to merge with beings and become them and know everything they think, to create, you know, speak things into creation. because we're all, you know, from the same place. If you're Fire Creation, and not everybody is here, you know, there's lots of clones, there's lots of NPCs. But if you actually have an eternal soul, then you have absolutely 100% ability as a creator god. So that's kind of what I believe.
Hmm. And how did you come to this position then? You know, what were the experiences that made you receptive? I guess that's the way of putting it.
You know, it's interesting. Being so programmed, my dad's a Baptist pastor, so being brought up so hardcore in religion and seeing so many flaws in that actually led me to step away and start exploring spirituality, because I was born with crazy high level abilities and some memory. So when I was born, I never had the mind of a child. I always had an adult mind, this exact mind I have now, I had as a baby, and I was awake enough to know that I had that mind as a baby. So I hated being a baby and a child, obviously, because I was born with partial memory that I had a life before this one, an adult life, you know, where I was a fully functional adult. So I grew up in a home where my gifts were really repressed. And, you know, they said they were of the devil. You know, I was possessed. They tried to exorcise them out of me. And, of course, they didn't go away, because that's the core of who I am. You know, what? I mean, my gifts were turned on before I came here. And they weren't going to be turned off.
You're showering me with an awful lot of information here. So you came into this world, as many, you know, it's acknowledged now, and I think it's probably true, many kids come into this world with a knowledge of something that went before for them. And they tend to forget it, don't they? By the time they get to 9, 10, they're starting to put it behind them. But aged 3, 4, maybe 5, maybe 6, a lot of them can recall things.
I agree.
And as you get on with your life and become yourself, then that all gets left in the past. And for you, this was real and present. So what were you telling your parents that made them want to exorcise you?
Well, I didn't. I mean, this is when I was very, 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 very young. They started because I could see colors and auras around people and symbols in their field. And I knew things about people that I shouldn't have known. So I would speak those things. And my parents are like, what's wrong with you? You know, we need to take you to the doctor. And then they became aware that they were more like psychic abilities. And as soon as they became aware that those were considered, because my parents are like just typical middle-class Americans. Like, they didn't, you know, have experiences with psychics or mediums or remote viewers. So, you know, they put me down for a nap and the ceiling would open up and I would go through portals and go into worlds and meet all kinds of beings, and I wouldn't nap, you know. And when I tried to share some of that stuff, it just wasn't very popular in my house, you know. So, you know, I stopped sharing, of course. Mm-hmm. Which my abilities didn't really start to progress again until I was in college and away from my parents, because I didn't really have a chance to be who I was, you know.
Hmm. Okay, so that doesn't sound, and as you say, your parents were regular people, but it doesn't sound, tell me that I'm wrong about this, very supportive as a childhood.
No, I wasn't supported at all. I felt like I was, talking about an alien. I felt like, well, not, I'm still the black sheep, but I felt like I was an alien. You know, I remember standing on one side of the room and my brother and my parents were on the other side of the room. And I was just like, who are these people? Like, I felt so disassociated from them, you know, at 3 and 4 and 5, which is crazy, really, to have that conscious thought at 3, like, is there something wrong here? Like, we don't match, you know?
Are you estranged from the family now?
I wouldn't say I'm estranged. I live really close to my parents. I moved to North Carolina to be near my family.
Okay.
Because I have children, and that's their grandparents. Oh, and my parents are older, and my brother's here. I would say estranged in a close, real, intimate, deep relationship, of course. But I mean, they were just over here the other day. You know, my dad helps me a lot. My dad and I have gotten a lot closer. But there's no acknowledgement or understanding of who I am, and I'm okay with that. And so me being okay with that makes the relationship okay, even though they believe I'm going to hell and they pray for me.
They still believe that, do they? They still believe you're going to hell.
Oh my goodness, yes. Not only me, but also my children. Because, you know, I raised my children to be, you know, thinking adults. They can choose whatever they want. They can be Buddhists, they can be Mormons, they can be nothing, they can be Satanists. I don't care. That's their choice. I raised them with complete choice. I didn't program my children into any religion other than a little bit of Christianity before I got out of it.
Well, that sounds good, Kimberly. Did you say that? I'm sorry, I am jumping in, but I just wanted to just pick up on one thing there. You said that you would be happy if they were Satanists?
Well, just because that's their choice. I wouldn't be happy, but that's their choice. Okay. And I don't believe in good and evil either. So I believe this is a game. And some people choose dark roles in the game. And some people choose, it's definitely a game of polarity and duality. So is there good and evil? Absolutely. Is there high and low frequency? Absolutely. But I've changed my mind about, you know, this is wrong and this is right. I'm more like, you know, of course, I'm charting my own path with free will, and so are you, and so is everyone. But I don't sit in judgment of other people's choices, because so many people are making unconscious choices, not knowing who they are, not remembering who they are through all time and space. I am burdened to have memory, but it's also a big relief to have memory, too.
So you're... in a way that perhaps your parents, and I appreciate the fact, of course, that you have an understanding with them now for all the reasons that you said, but you are or see yourself as more understanding than they were. And you know, let's add in the caveat that, of course, your dad was in the church and it was a different era when people didn't understand these things. So if you have a child who is saying, I am seeing things that you're not seeing, I am knowing things that you are not knowing, then... a lot of parents, even in 2023, would not comprehend that, I suspect.
I agree with that. My daughter, and this was not in this year, of course, but, you know, 20 years ago, she came to me and she said, Mommy, I'm seeing colors and symbols around people. I need to go to the eye doctor. There's something wrong with my eyes. She said this when she was five. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's so amazing. I said, you're amazing. You have crazy, wild, great abilities. You know, so my children... were allowed to develop their psychic because they were raised by, of course, me. So, but not everybody has that advantage, of course. Yes.
Some of it's been inherited. Now, as a kid, what sorts of things were you experiencing then? Were you communicating with, you know, I don't want to sound flip about this, that's not how I am, but were you communicating with aliens? Were you communicating with extra-dimensional beings? What were you, when you were a kid, and now that you look back on it and can rationalize it better, what were you experiencing then?
I mean, a lot of fourth-dimensional beings, which is... do human discarnates, when we leave the body, do we have to stay in the fourth dimension? Absolutely. But it's the closest dimension. So, you know, again, people think that when you pass from this body, you immediately get your memory back. You don't always. But you do. You are the exact same being that you are right now. So if I were to pass right now, everything I know right now, I would know about my children. I would know about my pets. I would know everything I know. You know, I communicated with a lot of the beings that chose to stay in the fourth dimension, not having knowledge of the afterlife or progressing into a higher state of frequency as a soul. You get stuck in the fourth dimension. And I'm going to tell you, Ghost Whisperer, the series, you know, portrays the fourth dimension very accurately. Both me and my daughter, I mean, my daughter even more than I, she sees 100% of the time. I don't see that way with my eyes 100% of the time, at least anymore. But, you know, there's so many human discarnates, ghosts, what people would call ghosts, everywhere. And I always usually say, everybody's like, oh, that house is haunted. And I'm like, there's more ghosts in Walmart. As you said earlier, you mentioned Walmart. There's more ghosts in Walmart than there are in most haunted houses or graveyards. You know, people are always going to graveyards to investigate the paranormal. I'm like, you guys, seriously, let's do a paranormal adventure to Walmart, because it's easier to find, you know, because they want to go where the people are. You know, they want to interact with people. They want to pretend that they're, you know, in the third dimension. So most of my encounters as a child, other than my nap times, which I would go off world through portals, you know, most of them were with, you know, human spirits. You know, men and women and children were drawn probably because they knew I could see them to interact with me. So that was most of my experiences. When I got older, though, and I've changed my view on this, I encountered what a lot of people would call demonic spirits or demons. I don't now believe they were necessarily in that exact category, because I've come to learn that a lot of beings, even ETs and the elementals, there's a lot of prankster beings, there's a lot of trickster beings, there's a lot of beings that will show up. You know, if you summon a demon or an angel, you know, you could get one of a million beings. They'll be happy to come. I mean, do you really think, you know, a lot of people will call in like Angel Michael, if there were an angel Michael, and I'm not going to debate that, there may or may not be, but do you think he's going to come at like 850 people's command at the same time and split himself into 850 locations? I just don't, I do not believe that. I think it's very, very trite that we think that higher frequency dimensional beings with memory, because most of us don't have any, come at our command. I think that's just very egotistical and shows that we don't understand how this game works or how all time and space works, you know?
So you deal with these discarnate spirits, the ones that don't move on. If we assume that the way of things is that we're supposed to move on, but some spirits, some people who've been people, when they've passed, they stay here and they roam around the place. They maybe even occupy other people.
Oh, goodness. That's a long conversation. That's actually a big part of my work that I never thought would come back, because I started out in the paranormal field at 20, working, you know, with occult crimes, working with the police, working with grisly things, and working with a lot of cases where people were, they were saying people were possessed and they couldn't figure out why. And so I did a lot of what, you know, people would call exorcisms when I was 20, and I gave that work up. I gave a lot of my paranormal work up in my 40s because the paranormal crowd, I don't know how much you know about them, and they're not going to like me for saying this, but they're very angsty. And then there's amazing people that don't get caught up in that, you know, that have families that can kind of keep their feet on the ground. But when you're around a lot of darkness and around a lot of murder and a lot of grisly things, it gets to you, you know, so I gave that up.
Somebody who is possessed by a discarnate spirit, how does that get in and what effect does it have?
More like a merging. You know, it doesn't come in like through the mouth like in the movies. It can, but it's more, it just steps in because, again, I'm trying to think. It's like kind of how you can pour water into a glass. They can go through or walk through walls. You know how the Bible talks about Jesus walking through walls. You know, I've come to understand that obviously if you and I, actually you and I can do it because our walls, everything here is just illusion. It's just frequency and we're frequency. So frequency can go through frequency. So the difference between them and us is, first of all, they know how. They have the power and the confidence and the memory of who they are as spirit beings, that they know that they can pass through house walls. And if you think about ghosts, how do they, you know, walk in a house? Do you really think they open the door and close the door? Maybe some do, but they walk through the wall at whatever, or they come through the roof at whatever entry point they want, or they go through the car if they want to go in a car. It's the same. The body to them, they understand what the body is. We don't. The body is simply a glass that holds or doesn't hold an eternal spirit. So because discarnates understand that, they just go in the glass or our bodies, you know, and they can pile up in there too. You know, some people are like a entity hotel, and not just full of human discarnates. I was just talking to someone the other day who was full of jinn, you know, and those are very fun, mischievous, horrible beings. But so there's many types of groups of consciousness that can, you know, come into any container, a house, a tree. You know, we talk about haunted items, a couch, you know, a vase, you know, a picture. We've all heard of haunted items, a doll. Same thing, just containers that these beings know how to possess.
But in the case of somebody who doesn't move on and stays here and wants to remain here, are you saying such a spirit that enters a person is doing so because that spirit wants to experience again what it's like to be human? It's almost like, you know, we have this saying here, having your cake and eating it. You know, you have the benefits of being a spirit, but you want to know what it's like to be alive. Is that what happens here?
Yeah, they want a body. A lot of them, and they all have different motivations. It's very individual. Many of them do want a body. Maybe they want to have sex. Maybe they want to drink alcohol. Maybe they just want to eat cake. Maybe they want to pet a dog, you know, or, you know, and maybe they're lonely, because the fourth dimension is similar to Stranger Things. If you've ever watched that series or know about that series, it's an upside down type of gray. It's black and white. It's a grayed out world. It has houses, it has cars, it has everything we have here, but it's not in the, you know, solid form. So they, you know, they can't have, I mean, to be blunt, you know, they can't have sex there. They can't eat there. But it is a mock-up of this world. So often it frustrates them when they're there, if they stay in the fourth dimension. And
right,
also the fourth dimension.
So they don't transcend those human things.
Beings that we're talking about don't. Can you leave? When I leave the body, I'm not staying in the fourth dimension. I know, you know, and this is what we're not taught by religion. or maybe some, but most, we're not taught that we are the all. We have complete creative control if we're an eternal being. When we leave the body, we don't have, there aren't two choices. You don't have to go to heaven and you don't have to go to hell, or you don't have to stay here. You can go wherever you want. You can create a new world. You can go on another ship. You can go with the Palladians. You can go with the Cetaceans. You can go with the Arcturians. You can go on a planet that's never existed. You can go lay in a poppy field and stare at the sky for 1,000 years. You can create a cabin in the mountains, an island on the beach. You can go be with somebody who's passed if they want to hang out with you. Again, it's that free will thing. We think that, you know, we command other free will spirits, and we don't. Another thing about the fourth dimension that isn't taught, everybody's like, I want to see, teach me how to see, activate my sight, activate my psychic abilities. I'm like, are you sure? Because I try not to see the fourth dimension, which is the easiest to see, and any psychic who can see will tell you it is. It's horrible. The worst beings are in the fourth dimension because it's closest to a lower frequency. The third dimension is very low frequency. The fourth dimension is very low frequency, too. So you're going to find your monsters there. And I don't mean monsters like Dogman and Bigfoot. I mean much, much, much worse monsters than that. You know,
demons.
Monsters of
lore. You mean demons?
Yeah. Demons, or what we would call demonic creatures with evil intent, you know, all sorts of twisted things that I can't even describe, really. Literal monsters like you would think of in a monster movie type thing, you know.
If you encounter these things, Kimberly, how come they don't do you harm?
Oh, because I know I am. Well, now I do. And before I used to lean, and I don't think, you know, and I'm not saying this mockingly in any way, I respect everybody's belief and everybody's, you know, has a right to believe what they want, even though a lot of it is programming. But I understand I'm still under programming. We're all under programming if we're here. It's just so dense here. It's hard not to be. But, you know, religion used to be, I'm going to say my crutch, because, you know, I would do the Jesus thing. You know, a lot of people believe, and it's why it works. It's because they believe if you say the name Jesus or the blood of Christ or, you know, whatever combination of that you want to say, or the Catholic exorcism prayer, you know, it has intention and power because they believe it works. I know who I am. I know certain historical people. I've been through all time and space. I know that I've been a healer. I know I've been a magician. I know who I am. You know, I know I am the all, and I came from the all, and I'm a very, very, very old soul. We talk about first wave, second wave, third wave, and on. I know I'm one of the first waves, and I know I have this connection and this wisdom, because again, time is non-local. There is no time and space. So right now, my soul is living fully in the future and fully in the past, so I'm able to connect to all positive and negative beings I've ever been, not just beings in the game, embodied in a physical body, but before the game, you know, world. There's a world where I was a universe. I can connect to that. How amazing is it to be a universe, you know? So I have that knowledge and that memory and that wisdom of all my lives, and I can connect to them. So there is no being that scares me at this point. Now, you know, I used to be, and I used to rely on religion. Now I just deal with them. You know, I do what I call astral work, which is I focus a time every day and I deal with timeline enemies. You know, there's timeline enemies that are embodied in physical bodies in your life and
time,
in my life. And
what's a timeline enemy?
A timeline enemy is someone from your past that you may or may not remember, and they may or may not remember. Maybe it was someone who you killed in a duel, or you slept with their wife, or they slept with your wife, or you know what I'm saying? Or they took a business, or they stole from you, or they murdered you, or they were jealous of you.
Right.
And
so you've
they're
got
reincarnated here.
You've got issues. You've got issues.
Everybody does.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody has. And everybody has timeline enemies. The dangerous timeline enemies.
Isn't that interesting? So does this mean, and you know, I'm asking for a...
Sure.
I'm not asking for a friend, I'm asking for me. Sometimes I've worked
You're
with
so
people
funny.
And
okay.
I've thought, I don't like that person. Mm-hmm. And there's been no rational reason why I don't like that person. We have not got on. Do you think that some of what you're talking about there could be the cause of some of that?
It's interesting you bring that up, because I think that's like a memory that isn't completely conscious. It's like something's triggering. It's triggering something in you, like a knowing. It's like beyond a memory. You know that there might be something. And haven't you experienced that in your life positively? Haven't you met someone and been like, I feel like I know you before.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like I've always known you. So you can also experience that positively in like a soul connection. Too.
Much nicer.
Yes, much nicer. I agree.
All right. In terms of demons that you might have encountered, how do you see them? And when you see them, presumably they see you. And I mean, do you wave to them? Do they say, "Hi, Kimberly, we know you can see us," or do they say, "Get thee gone," or "We're going to vaporize you"? You know, how does that work?
In the old days, it was more like I saw them, they saw me, and they tried to scare me, and I tried to fake that I wasn't scared. But now it's more like I get a lot of demonic energies in places that I have to clear land. A lot of homes and a lot of people, but in my own, like I keep a pretty, I had a remote viewing friend. She was looking at my property and she's like, "Oh, your property's beautiful." I said, "Thank you." And she said, "Did you know there's a dome over your property?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "How do you know?" And I said, "I put it there." So I established, you know, kind of like no-go zones. Like, I have agreements with the Sasquatch. I have agreements with the Dogmen. I have agreements with the little people. They're allowed, you know, with certain rules to be up by my house. They're allowed to watch me and my dogs and my family. They're not allowed to do certain things. If they do, I know who I am and I know the tools I have at my disposal. So when I encounter a dark energy or demon, I see them usually, sometimes they'll show me who they are. Sometimes they'll appear as a person, just a person. And a lot of times they'll appear as a dark shadow or a cloak, dark cloaked figure. They really don't like to show themselves. They know that they're epitome of like low frequency ugliness usually. So oftentimes they'll hide, but you can tell who they are. And you know, sometimes I'll say, "What do you want?" If they're appearing, which they rarely do, around me. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell me, you know, I can converse with these beings. And I don't know how. I've just always had the ability. I guess I retained mind-to-mind communication. I usually don't speak to them out loud. It's usually completely mind-to-mind. Occasionally, unfortunately, you really don't want to hear a demon speak out loud. It is rather bone-chilling. And they have spoken to me out loud. And it's not pleasant, to be honest with you. But
how do they sound? Is it like the movies? Is it like The Exorcist?
It's so much worse. It's so much worse. It really makes you sick in your stomach. It's just so, just bone-chilling evil. And you know it and you feel it through every fiber of your body. And you know that if you can't hold your being, that you could be destroyed. I mean, they really can. They're very, very powerful. They know who they are. They have memory. And we don't. You know, it's a disadvantage. They know who they are. We don't know who we are. And really, most of us are way more powerful than they are, but we don't remember. So they have the advantage. And that's why it's bone chilling. And they're very old beings. You know, a lot of them have just chosen, like I said, to continue to be a darker role as a soul. You know, they're eternal beings too.
So they make a choice to be bad.
Yeah, they think it's fun. And I guarantee you, if I looked at your past lives, you've made choices to be bad too. If you're an older soul, if you're a baby soul, and like this is your first go around, you just came out of the awe, you know, maybe you have it. Or if you're a younger soul, but you're not a younger soul, so I can guarantee you, if we looked at your past lives, you've made some choices to be bad too.
Okay, no, I've been around the circuit a few times, I suspect. Okay, there will be, because I do a show like this, and I get emails from people and responses people.
Right.
Do you know that some of my listeners will say, "Howard, you're taking a walk on the wild side here. This is just wacko," and you know it. What would you say to those people who I know inevitably will be poised over their keyboards now about to email me and say exactly that? Because you've thrown an awful lot of stuff at me.
I have, and I call it, I love that you brought it up, because I call that dropping it in your field. And maybe it is wacko now, because if I heard this show 30 years ago, I'd be one of those people. I'd be like, "I'm never listening to your show again. Stop having crazy people on." But here's what I say. I don't believe in coincidences. There's no coincidence in the matrix. So something I said, even to the most disbelieving, even if they hate me, I don't care, because I believe it could be useful in the future or help someone else that they encounter in the future. It may even level them up enough to open them up to new knowledge or new memory in themselves, because you have a good frequency. You have high frequency too, but my frequency is very activating. So a lot of times people listen to me and their psychic abilities turn on, or they do remember. So I don't even care if they're listening to what I'm saying. I'm just glad they got to sit under, you know, two old souls frequency chatting together for an hour. You know, that's beneficial to them.
Okay.
You know,
so that, I think we translate that to live and let live. Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
That's what we say both sides of the Atlantic. I'm completely with that. But, you know, it's going to be an awful lot for some people to take in. I've heard all the stories here, and, you know, I I'm very open-minded about stuff. You know, I haven't had very many experiences that you could call paranormal, but I've definitely had some, and they've gone all the way through my life. And that's why I am open and accepting about things. Now, you told me that some people, these beings, for want of another word, that you are connected to or communicate mm-hmm. with, some mm-hmm. people ask you, please, can you come and sort out my house? Can you think of an occasion that would make an interesting story for my listener where you've actually gone there and done that, where somebody's contacted you and said, Kimberly, I heard about you. I've got an issue. There's something here. You know, to quote a famous, I mean, you're far too young to remember this song, but a song by Ardeen Taylor called There's a Ghost in My House. If somebody phones you and says, as Ardeen Taylor sang all those years ago, there's a ghost in my house, what do you do?
Yeah, I have an interesting story. Well, I think it's interesting. One of my, you know, it was years ago, but one of my most interesting stories is a very, very wealthy couple in Ohio. And I actually brought my daughter to help me clear this house. The story was very, very wealthy couple living out on country property, and they had guard dogs even. And they had gone out to let their dogs in or out, I don't remember which, and there were kidnappers there. And they came in the house, they tied him and his wife up, they raped his wife, she lost her baby, she was pregnant. This is a very tragic story, yeah. And ever since then, again, very, very, very wealthy couple, ever since then, their house had been totally crazy, like blood on the walls. I mean, I'm telling you, like Amityville style stuff. And so, of course, you know, they call me, and really that violence that had happened there had really opened up, you know, a frequency attraction for darker beings. And so it was just so interesting. There were so many human discarnates there. There were swirling masses of energy in this house that we had to clear. We were spoken to in that house by very dark voices. It took us like 4 or 5 hours. We made them leave. But it was absolutely crazy. But it was such a gift because everything went back. You know, his business went back to normal. She recovered. Their marriage went back to normal. But think of going through such a tragic experience, and then you have to deal with like a dramatic, severe, you know, scary, terrifying, haunting right after that. Like you can't recover, you know, you can't even heal. So, you know, people don't look at, you know, people that do this work as healers, but I think you're definitely can help relationships and just raise, you know, the frequency of the home. And, you know, everything's frequency here. And so, you know, everybody's like, oh, I want more money. I want more happiness. I want more romance, you know, whatever you want. But you can't do that when you're depressed and when you're dark and when you're traumatized. So, you know, I think there's a very healing aspect in people with genuine gifts, not scam artists, but people that can genuinely go and, you know, make a property or a house or a person clean. But that was one of my most dramatic house cleanses.
In that instance in Ohio, the people who called you in were the people who experienced these heinous, terrible crimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the couple that owned the house.
It was the actual, what a terrible thing to have gone through. And what's the first thing that you say to them? You know, because they've been through something like that. I wouldn't know quite what to say. Well, you know, I would have words because I'm professionally trained and I would get the words.
Oh, of course.
But I would find it difficult, because what do you say to somebody who's been through something like that?
Well, and I don't make any promises either. I said, you know, I'm going to do the best I can to help you process this trauma that you've gone through. First of all, with what happened to you, and second of all, with what's happening now. I can't 100% guarantee it, but, you know, we're going to do absolutely everything we can to make it easier for you guys to continue healing.
Right. And do you believe that the badness that was attracted to that location because of the things that had happened to there, to the people there, do you believe that that badness was invited, that's the word, by the people who'd experienced those things there, the couple? Or do you believe that because those bad things had happened there, energies that feed off bad things were attracted?
The second thing. I definitely think.
So it wasn't them.
I honestly believe it was the, you know, just horrible things happened in the house.
And what about the people who actually did this, the human flesh and blood criminals who did those acts? Were they brought to justice ever?
They were brought to justice, yes. Thank you for asking that. They were caught and brought to justice. So that was also, I'm sure, very healing for them as well.
And is that common, that if a bad thing happens in a place, then all kinds of bad energy, you know, are there? I'm kind of thinking about places where terrible, terrible things have happened. And for me, a very big part of my career was the period around 9/11. Went to the first and second anniversaries of 9/11 and reported direct from Ground Zero back to London.
Oh, wow.
I reported on the story. How did I feel? I felt saddened and upset and humbled and moved and sympathetic. All of those things all together. I connected with people in ways that you can't under ordinary circumstances. And I came to understand what transpired there in a way that you can't, if you watch it on TV, the scale of it. Television doesn't give you, even a magazine doesn't give you any idea what that was like. You have to go there, you have to experience it, you have to see the dust, you have to look into the eyes of people who lost loved ones in those towers. So believe me, you know, I lived it and I came to experience it and I was left humbled and I was actually grateful for the experience. But I'm wondering, in an instance like that where something utterly heinous has happened and a lot of people maybe exit as they did in that case, does that always attract bad energy? Because, you know, that area now has been redeveloped and there is a permanent memorial there to the people who tragically and needlessly lost their lives. But to use your analysis of this, then you would say that a bad thing that happened in that place or any place where a bad thing happens, a door is opened.
Well, because of what I see when I go to these places, often there are doorways opened or portals where, you know, it just takes one or two beings and it becomes kind of a pathway. I believe there's three kinds of portals or three kinds of places, you might say, to attract energy. There's neutral places where bad and, you know, all kinds of higher dimensional beings, you know, bad and good pass through. There's dark portal entries where I believe more like the tragic trauma places like you're talking about, that tend to only attract the lower frequency, darker beings. But as you said, there's restoration there. So maybe it's becoming more of a neutral draw. And then there's positive portals. There's places where it's too high frequency, a dark being couldn't even get through. So I just think it depends on, you know, the individual situation.
Right. And of course, in that particular instance, and if anybody's hearing this who experienced any part of that, my heart and thoughts, of course, go out to you. I'm guessing that one of the things that was able to, if you believe in the things that you've been talking to me about, one of the things that was able to allow that site to continue is the fact that so much love and so much concern and so much care was funneled into that. Which brings us to another thing, really. That's in this world that you inhabit, there are all kinds of things and beings and creatures. But we have a power, too. And we have a power, and I've experienced it myself. You know, when you are positive about things, when you approach things in love, and it's bloody hard to do. You know, excuse my Englishism there, but you know, it's very hard to do. But if you approach things with openness and love, then I think you can make a change. And that, you know, that's just a thought. So I suppose what I'm asking you in a very ham-fisted, roundabout way is... is one of the things that you do to teach people that they can make a change in the circumstances that they experience. If they think they're haunted by something, if they if they believe they're possessed, whatever, that maybe by having a different outlook, they can get different outcomes.
Oh, absolutely. We are powerful creators, and we have way more power. You know, even I even have what I call sloppy language. So I'll say, you know, I'm going to undo this right away, but I'll say, you know, I'm broke. I don't have enough money to do this. And even my daughters will catch me and they'll be like, Mom, don't say that. And I'll be like, oh, I take that out of the quanta. I mean, I have tons of money, you know, because we speak everything. So the rule of this reality is whatever you believe is real. So if I believe I'm broke, and I'm speaking that into reality, which is frequency. Every single word has a frequency. And if what we believe is becomes real, we're the magicians of our and creators of our own reality, then if I continue speaking that, that's what will happen. But if I, even if I am broke, for real, and I have $0 in my bank account, but I start speaking, you know, one of my favorite sayings is I breathe and make money because I truly believe that. And, you know, I'm doing pretty well. And, but, you know, there was a time when I would not have said that or would not have believed that. And I think my bank account reflected. As a matter of fact, I say this, Howard, I say, give me 5 minutes in your house, show me your bank account, introduce me to your partner, And I'll tell you, first of all, you know, exactly how you feel about your life, where you're at, you know, what's really going on, and also tell you how to improve it. Because where we're living, both location, what our house looks like, what our bank account looks like, what our relationships look like, it tells me where you are in consciousness. What is your frequency? Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you depressed? Are you happy? Are you joyful? Are you love, as you would say? You know, what are you reflecting? Because that's what you're going to attract.
Okay. I mean, look, you're talking to somebody who kind of believes these things, but I cannot, and I tell other people this, that they've got to be positive, because if you are positive, it'll bring positivity to you. And, you know, because I work in the media, because I'm the person that I am, you know, typical Gemini, I can't guarantee that I'm the most positive person every single day. Sometimes, you know, and I'm not afraid to admit it here, because it doesn't matter. It's the truth.
Right.
You know, sometimes I can't see a way out of all the you know, the worries. Mm-hmm. I can't. Mm-hmm. And other times I will absolutely think, okay, there's always a way. And my belief about life is that there's always a way.
And mine too.
And, you know, whether you believe that is anything to do with the fourth dimension or any dimension, or the fact that we may be spirits in this material world, to quote another song, you know, I just think that's a fact. According to the notes that I've got about you, you believe that you were abducted by aliens. Is that so?
I mean, I've come to like, there's irrefutable evidence that that does happen. Yes.
Okay, but do you believe that that happened to you?
Yes, I actually believe it happens to everybody, whether you, including you. But who is taking you? Because let me tell you the why, because I think it will like frame it a little bit. It's because I believe this is a game, and I believe it's an open source game, meaning anyone outside the game, you might call it Galactic Federation, you might call it Palladian, you might call it Jin. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is, positive, neutral, other galaxies, whatever. They can dip in any time. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched the series Westworld. You want to know how this reality works? Well, start at the first episode and watch every single episode of Westworld. That is a complete documentary. You know, and it talks a lot about cloning and the transfer of human consciousness. It also talks a lot about the game, as I refer it to. So, again, I believe everyone, and again, I use quantum technology that is 100% accurate, that I put the lives of all my children, myself, and my animals on. And it's proven time and time again to be 100% accurate. So we're able to program this quantum technology to ask what's happening in different areas, in different homes, in different cities. And we're finding that because CERN, there's not just one CERN, there's many CERNs. And CERN is used as as Groundhog Day was really about, as Bill Murray himself told me, sitting in a bar one day. It's really about the quantum technology of CERN. It's about stopping time, starting time, opening portals and closing portals. That's what CERN's about, not about whatever they tell you. And some people have heard that's what it's about, and it is.
Well, you know, a lot of people, it's never actually been proved, but a lot of people have speculated, and there are many conspiracy theories about a lot of things, about what we might actually be doing to space and time and everything.
Exactly.
By experiments like CERN, CERN.
Right. But, you know, and I have daytime or nighttime, but in the day, memory, conscious, quote, abduction stories. But I think what's more sinister is what's happening to everybody at night. You know, there's lots of people waking up with needle marks. There's lots of people including me, a lot of people waking up with bruises. Sometimes our physical body's taken. Sometimes our consciousness is transferred. But I don't ask people, Howard, 100% to believe me. When you're being picked up by three-letter agencies, it's not even always about ETs. A lot of times they're injecting you. That's why people are finding needle marks. So they're taking these higher intelligent beings. You have an above average IQ. I have an above average IQ. We're eternal beings. We're some of the oldest souls on the planet. We have psychic abilities. You do too, that are active. And they're utilizing us for intelligent projects. They're also pulling our spinal fluid for adrenochrome. They're pulling our spinal fluid for clones. And a lot of people wake up with swollen necks between the base of their skull and the top of their spine.
Are you telling me that aliens, while people sleep, are doing experiments?
Not just aliens. I'm talking about like human intelligence agencies also are grabbing people out of their homes pretty regularly. A Mossad.
How'd you know that?
Well, my ex-fiance works for Homeland Security and is one of the top-ranking members of the Order of Golden Dawn, so I know a lot. And my family works in, you know, he also worked in Area 51. You know, one of the things he told me 20 years ago was the Black Triangle ships were ours. You know, everybody was like, they'd see black triangle ships and they're like, oh, alien ships. But they've come out since then. And the military has told us that the black triangle ships were always ours, you know, coming out of the underground bases. And he told me that years ago because he worked on those, you know, black triangle ships. So it's interesting how much information he's told me through the years has come, you know, so I believe, you know, 99% of what he says. And again, I want to point out, we've talked about a lot of negative agencies and a lot of negative beings. Y'all, we also have a lot of, as we say in the South, we also have a lot of soul family and a lot of positive beings that look out for all of us, including you and I as well. So I'm good.
I'm really pleased to know about that. Does that mean that if I, you know, if I'm going through a bad time and I look up there and I say, you know, if you're with me, if you're on my frequency, help me, they might be listening. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have soul family. So when you pass, you know, you have many lives that you're going to live in the future on different ships and different planets and different places as different beings. And you have access to a lot of those beings. Time is not the same and it doesn't pass the same. So they interact even from the future. I know this sounds like a movie, but they base the movies on true things. You know, they interact with us now. So even like, you know, family members from your future or soulmates, if you want to use that term, from your future, can come into now and intercede in positive ways. And I always encourage people, whether they believe it or not, who doesn't want assistance, ask for your soul family, you know, give them permission to interact with you and give you signs. And a lot of times, I also believe abduction happens with people's soul family and that they positively augment us. Even some of the agencies, I believe some of those abductions, from what I know, are positive. They're taking you to fix things, work on your heart, or tweak your DNA positively so you live longer. Because a lot of us have clones that, and again, cloning is talked about, but not to the extent that I know about it. Clones, and that is connected. You know, it's our souls, exactly as we are.
Hang on, a lot of us have clones. Are you saying like doppelgangers?
Well, you do. You have clones. I'm saying exact clones. Now, they're not exact because they weren't raised the same. They didn't eat the same. They didn't drink the same. They didn't make the same choices.
Do they look like me?
Some of them may. Some of them may not. Because if you, for instance, if you, one of your clones is 80 or one of your clones is 20 and you and I are 50, like that's going to make a difference. You know, so do they look like you? Yes and no. But they do make exact clones. But, you know, like I said, lifestyle, how they're raised, whether they put them in a family, whether they come right out of the lab, it all makes a difference. You know, how they've lived, have they done drugs, have they smoked, what do they eat, what do they drink? It's going to change how you look. You know, what color is their hair? Short, long, beard, no beard, mustache.
Who's doing the cloning, Kimberly? Is it, you know, alien abduction that's doing the...
There's so many agencies that do. Agencies, of course. No, it's happening, like, here in all over the world, like in labs, in many bases, many military bases. Camp David is a cloning lab in the U.S., for example. That's one.
I think I can probably ask you this, and I hope I can. But let me ask for forgiveness before I do. Because of, partly because of those people who will email me. And, you know, we've taken a bit of a walk on the wild side with this conversation, and, you know, frankly, that's what this show is. It's the unexplained. You know, if you don't like that, I'm really sorry about that, but we go to these things occasionally because how do I know there is or isn't truth in it, and how do you, I'm talking to my listener here, know that there is or isn't truth in it? All you can do is to listen to people, and you either accept it or you don't. It either changes how you think or it doesn't. So, you know, that's where I'm coming to this one. But have there ever been occasions where you've thought, or maybe somebody's thought on your behalf, that just to be certain, you've wanted to have your mind checked, just to make sure that the things that happen to you and the things that you experience are not artifacts of your own mind? Now, I did ask for forgiveness before I said this.
Yeah. So, you know, the odd thing is, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I think I'm the most sane I've ever been in my entire life. I think there were times, you know, I suffered with, you know, postpartum depression after my children. And there's been times when I haven't been as well, you know what I mean? As stable, as grounded. And I know maybe grounded isn't a good word to use for this conversation, but here's my struggle from my viewpoint. I didn't want any of this. I didn't decide I want to be known as a paranormal expert. I didn't decide I wanted to be a psychic. I didn't decide I wanted these experiences. No, I didn't decide as my fiance to go into Homeland and work at Area 51. So a lot of these things have come into my life, and it's kind of been like brought on me. And I think it's who I am. And that's what's so convincing, is this isn't something I chased or I chose. It's what's happened to me. It's my personal life experience. And maybe I am on a different world and timeline, which we all are in actuality. And I'm okay with that, because actually my life is freaking amazing, and it's always exciting, and it's interesting, and I'm an interesting person. And even if you think I'm crazy, I'm still a really cool person to talk to. You know?
But, so, well, I mean, you're absolutely that. And I certainly don't think that you're crazy. And I think all of us, you know, go through times, I think, I hope I'm not admitting too much here, but, you know, where your grip on everything is maybe not as solid as it might be at other times. But, you know, that's absolutely fine. But you know what I'm saying? That some of this stuff is so out there.
It is.
But then we're coming to understand so many of these things. Consciousness. You work in consciousness. What is consciousness? Because academics, philosophers, scientists have been trying to determine that forever. What do you think that spark that makes you... Me, mm-hmm. us be alive and energized and plugged into the electricity right. grid of life. How does that work, do you think?
I mean, I call that fire creation, which people call the soul. So there's people that have a soul that are fire creation. So where did we come from? We came from the void. You know, people think we came from light, but we actually came from all possibility, which is nothing, you know? But I love that. So, you know, I believe you and I, at one point, chose to come out of a nothing and say, you know what, I'm tired of being everything and nothing at all. And I want to experience my own choices, my own free will, my own perception of world after world and life after life. And that's where I think the waves came in. These waves of, you know, light, frequency, and sound came out of the all in groups. And they still are coming out of the all. And that is eternal fire creation. And any time, if I come out of this body, one of my choices is to go back into the all, which is, you know, nothing and everything. But apparently, as old as you and I are, Howard, we haven't chosen that. We've chosen to keep coming back to the game, or we've been forced back to the game. But you and I also have lives, what I call outside of Earth. You have lives before Earth, and so do I. And you have lives after Earth, where you will not be embodied in a human avatar on this. You won't choose that. And I won't choose that either. We're going to choose, you know, different experiences. So I think that's what consciousness is, an individualized point of eternal fire creation viewpoint. And that can manifest itself as a dog man or a fairy or a dragon or a human being or a Pleiadian ET, or, you know, a tree, you know, can have a eternal fire creation spirit. You can choose to be a tree if you want, or an insect, or a dog, you know. So it's not the container it's that makes you conscious. It's that all fire creation.
Because of all of those things that I said about people who might be skeptical about this. Okay. Yeah. Have you ever been told anything that you couldn't have known, a piece of information, a piece of knowledge that you later verified to be true? Something that I could, you know, hand to people who might be scratching their heads about all of this, because, you know, some of it is a bit of a stretch, but I find it fascinating, right? And if you want my view about it, I don't think our conception of reality as we used to know it like 40 years ago, I don't think that is the case. You know, I think that it's all malleable. I think we can probably change it. I think we're all connected in ways that we don't understand, because I've seen examples in my own life. So, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, I just met a guy online by chance from who worked at Lockheed Martin. He's an engineer, and he was kidnapped, meaning taken against his will, surprisingly, by military, and he was taken to the Soul Projects, which aren't what they tell you they are, but they're actually supposedly other planets that you go through jump rooms on Earth, which I'm not saying the public has access to them, and they all have the underground trams that are, you know, hyperspeed trams. They all run under these places. So the elite, the cabal, the controllers, you know, of the realm, they can jump on these trams, because, you know, you can get from, in the United States, you know, you can get from New York to California in 30 minutes on these trams, which, of course, that's like a 5-6 day endless car ride, you know, and it's a very long plane ride, like a day plane ride. So, you know, those things can be verified. I wouldn't suggest you wander around trying to verify them. A lot of times you can verify you're being taken. A lot of times when you go on vacation, you're taken, because it's easier for them to access you. I'll tell you another thing you can do. Put a Ring camera, which you can get on Amazon, in your room at night. and you'll start seeing the beings, you'll start seeing the orbs. You don't have to have psychic vision. Because of the technology we have, you can capture a lot of this yourself on camera, you know?
Boy.
I'll tell you a good experiment, Howard, really quick. So you can lay on your bed. Okay, so you can lay on your bed. Mm-hmm. If you have a like attached bathroom or an attached hallway that you can see from your bed, leave one of those lights on. Like either leave the bathroom light on and close the door, or leave the hall light on and close the door. Kind of soften your vision and lay on your bed for a while, relax, don't go to sleep. And then casually look under your door. You will see little beings moving, or shadows or shapes moving under your door. You will. Because everybody has these house spirits and these fae that live in their houses, and often they'll come out at night. And people are like, oh, where did that ring go? I swear I put my necklace here. I swear there was this bottle here. I swear I left a cookie here. Yeah, who do you think takes that? You know, there's so much interaction of energies. If you guys would start paying attention, you could prove all this stuff for yourself. And I'm saying that to your audience, not to you.
Kimberly, thank you very much. Listen, we've talked about a lot of stuff here, and I wish you well. If people want to read about you and the stuff that you do, if they want to, you know, approach it firsthand, where would they go online?
Right. So I'm pretty pretty out there, as you are. You can just type my name in, or secrettoeverything.com, and we have a, you know, contact form on there. We have some free stuff, so you can get a hold of us if you have questions or criticisms. You know, we're open to whatever. You can get a hold of me on there, or just type me in line, you know, online, and you'll find me.
All right, Kimberly, thank you very much, and give my love to North Carolina. Stay safe.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. I know, an unusual conversation. And I found Kimberly very interesting. Am I here to tell you that all of that was absolutely right and absolutely happened? No. Am I here to say the contrary? No. I'm here to listen. Interesting conversations with interesting people is kind of what I do, I think, over all of these years. More great guests in the pipeline here at the Home of the Unexplained. So until we meet again, my name is Howard Hughes. The last time I checked, please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.